Last week, Sarah talked about Paul's meeting with Jesus and his conversion from persecutor to follower. In the passage from Acts today, we return to Peter and the miracles he performs as an itinerant preacher. First of all, Peter goes to Lydda and finds a man, Aeneas, who has been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. Confined to his bed and unable to move, he must have given up all hope and felt as though life had dealt him a very bitter blow. We don't know if Aeneas was a disciple or if he had even heard of Jesus. We just know that Peter found him, which makes it sound as though he stumbled across him rather than having the intention of going to heal him. Full of confidence in God, Peter tells Aeneas that Jesus Christ has healed him and orders him to get up and put away his bed. Such is Peter's faith that he knows Aeneas won't be needing the bed anymore. And Aeneas obeys and gets up. He feels the power of God working in his body, and there is no hesitation, no slow return of feeling to his legs. He was paralyzed and now he isn't, and so he gets up. And this is such a wonderful sight that those who have seen it have no choice but to believe in Jesus. They witness a miracle, and there is now no doubt of God's glory. Then Peter gets a message from Joppa, a port about 11 miles away. He is told to come at once, and so he does. And the reason he has been summoned is because Tabitha, or Dorcas, has died. It is interesting that this woman is given two names by the writer. Her Hebrew name is Tabitha, and her Greek name is Dorcas. As Joppa was a port, it is likely that the population would have been more cosmopolitan than in an inland town, so there would have been Greek and Hebrew populations. Both of her names mean gazelle, a creature of grace, and the fact that she has names in both languages implies that she has connections with more than one group of people. Tabitha, or Dorcas, is someone who connects with everyone around her, not just her own people. We learn more about Dorcas. She helped people and she cared for them. She made clothes for the widows, women who were a particularly vulnerable group in this society and who needed someone to speak for them and to take their side. Dorcas is a disciple. We know this because Luke tells us, but we also know this because of how she has lived her life. Now that she has died, the widows who received the gifts of clothing from Dorcas are weeping and showing Peter what she gave to them. This is their way of telling Peter how much Dorcas matters to them and how great the loss of her is. Peter knows what he is here to do and tells everyone to leave the room before getting on his knees and praying. He asks God for help and guidance, and when he knows the answer, he tells Dorcas to get up. And as with Aeneas, there is no hesitation, no gradual return to life. Rather, Dorcas opens her eyes and gets up, and Peter helps her to her feet, before taking her to show the others that she is alive and returned to them. And as in Lydda, this miracle brings others to faith. And that isn't really surprising. Healing people who have incurable conditions and bringing the dead to life, these are incredible and singular acts, particularly raising from the dead. Jesus brought the dead back to life. Lazarus, the daughter of Jairus, and the son of a widow in Nain. But although he had that amazing power, he used it sparingly. Bringing someone back from the dead is not something that happens a lot in the Bible, and it is certainly something we don't hear of today. But if you've seen someone restoring sight to the blind or raising the dead, why wouldn't you believe in the power of God? And just to be clear, when I talk of miracles of raising the dead back to life, I'm speaking of when the power of Jesus brought someone else back from the dead. These resuscitations are very different from the resurrection of Jesus. When Jesus died, he challenged and conquered death to rise again, giving us all the hope of our own resurrection to the eternal life through his own sacrifice. This is quite different from the miraculous act of returning one dead person to the world of the living for a short while, before, in the end, them dying again. Resuscitation, as Dorcas experienced, was not resurrection, which we who follow Christ will experience when he returns at the end times. So why does Peter bring Dorcas back? Well, first of all, it isn't Peter who is performing miracles. As he tells Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Peter doesn't say, I have healed you, or even, Jesus has helped me to heal you. He is quite clear about the reason for the miracle. Jesus is at work in the world as he said he would be. Peter prays and Jesus answers. So why Dorcas? Why return this woman to life and not any other? There are other people who are suffering in Lydda and Joppa, and other good disciples whose deaths are equally sad. I don't have an easy answer as to why some are healed and returned to us and why some are not. Dorcas is a good woman who lives her life as Jesus commanded, and maybe that is why her resuscitation happens. Maybe her work is not yet done, and the fact that she has built connections across different groups in Joppa is a symbol of how we are meant to be as disciples. And let's not forget, the miracle of Dorcas brings many others to faith. So in a world where Christianity is often seen at best as pretty uncool and at worst as a capital offence, why do we not see more miracles to bring others to faith? When we are grieving the death of a loved one, why can't we send for Peter or someone like him and have the power of Jesus bring them back to us? We need to remember that raising the dead may not be without consequences. It is important to think about Dorcas here and how she may have felt about this resuscitation. We never hear her voice, and we don't know how she felt. Surely she must be overjoyed to be given a second chance. Or is she? Dorcas has been dead for nearly 3 days by the time Peter gets there. Is her return to the world something that she wanted? Maybe she didn't want to come back. When someone we love dies, the loss of them in our world can be unbearably painful at times. We don't want them to die, and many times we might fervently pray for them to come back to us. But who is that prayer really for? Is anybody here a fan of Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Buffy the Vampire Slayer is a TV show from the 90s about a young woman who is able to fight and kill vampires and other demons and who works with her friends to save the world. A lot. At the end of one season, she sacrifices herself to save the world, using her blood to close a portal to another world. And in the next season, her heartbroken friends use magic to bring her back to life, believing they are rescuing her from a terrible fate. But Buffy returns disorientated and lost, seemingly ungrateful for the gift her friends have given her. She is distant from them and struggling to be in the world now. But as she later explains, she was at peace and in heaven and was ripped away from that love to be put back into the world. Knowing what she has lost makes this world feel like hell. Buffy comes to terms with this eventually, finding meaning in her role as slayer and representative of light in the darkness. Death can be heartbreaking for the living, but those who die enter into a peaceful rest, so our desires to have them returned to us can seem very selfish at times, although also completely understandable. The widows and disciples are not ready to live without Dorcas in their lives. And this time, Jesus answers that prayer with Peter. But miracles are not an everyday occurrence by their very nature, and this miracle is rarely repeated. So why does it seem like the early church got miracles and we don't? Raising the dead might not always be the kindness to them we think that it is, but what about other miracles? In Acts, the church is young and finding its feet, full of people who are new to this faith and who are sending out the message that Jesus brought. The death and resurrection of Jesus is something that happened in living memory, and there is a need to get the message out as fast and as far as possible before all momentum is lost. Also, being a disciple of Jesus is a dangerous activity, and the persecution from Saul and from others is a very real possibility. So maybe Peter asks Jesus to heal Aeneas and to bring Dorcas back because the people need to see what Jesus can do firsthand. There isn't enough time for deeper redemption stories, to bring others slowly to faith through actions and through just talking about Jesus. The new church isn't mature or strong enough for that just yet. For the faith to grow, more dramatic measures are needed. As Sarah explained last week, conversion is a process, something that goes on over time. But in Acts, it needed something pretty dramatic to get it kick-started. And you don't get much more dramatic than raising someone from the dead. So Dorcas plays her part in showing the miracle of Jesus to others. Jesus raises Dorcas from the dead, but Jesus himself conquered death. And his power is at work in these stories of Peter. And probably Dorcas was happy to play her part, to postpone her peaceful rest and live out her faith on earth, to take care of others and demonstrate the love of Jesus in her town. So maybe we don't need these miracles, but they remind us of what God can do. God works in mysterious and often miraculous ways, and a lot of the time we probably don't realise or notice. For us today, we aren't trying to get a church established while being persecuted, and while there is a very real danger of the message being lost because not enough people can pass it on in time. The early church needed miracles, and they worked. Many were brought to faith. But while miracles might kickstart belief, can they really sustain it? I wonder if we don't think we see many miraculous acts today, because in our world they wouldn't have the impact that was needed. Would a miracle bring people to faith today? Or would it be yet another viral video, one that gets lots of likes, but not quite as many as the skateboarding cat? In a culture where we are surrounded by the exciting and the shiny, I think a dramatic message from God would just get lost in the noise. I think the most important thing about Dorcas is not her return from death, but how she lived her life. It's easy to start to believe. It's much harder to maintain belief and to grow in faith. Conversion is a journey that might start with a dramatic moment, but which needs to be sustained with much less exciting and much more challenging life changes. As we walk with Jesus, we are going to keep stumbling and missing our way, and then finding it again. And it is easier to find our way back to Jesus if we know what the way should look like. Living a life of love for others is a wonderful act of witness, and probably more effective than an impressive but ultimately short-lived gesture. Peter shared the road with Jesus and knows that the power is his to give. He knows that Jesus is the healer and not him, and he openly acknowledges that. Peter is living his faith as Dorcas did, and it is the act of living out faith that I think is the most powerful. Miracles might bring someone to Jesus, But living as a disciple keeps us with Jesus, and we do need to stay with him. Our world needs Jesus, just as our world needed Jesus 2,000 years ago. He promised that he would be here with us, and he is. We just don't always see him. The biggest miracle of all is the gift of life that Jesus gave us, his defeat of death, and his unconditional love for us. We need that in our lives, today and every day.